Hi, welcome to the Fantastic Forecast, episode 440. I'm David Elliott, the Pastepot Pete of podcasters. Today, the 440th issue of the Fantastic Four. It's Fantastic Four, Volume 3, Number 11, from November 1998. The first, The Final Fire, by Chris Claremont and Salvador La Roca. The issue starts with a memory of Reed, Sue, Johnny, and Ben in their astronaut uniforms back before the fateful space flight that gave them their powers. Of course, Salvador La Roca couldn't be bothered to go back to look at issue one and look at the spacesuits the four of them were wearing, so the suits are completely different. And that's the extent of the flashback. On the second page, we head back to 1998 over by the Hudson River, where Reed Richards has just been defeated by Pastepot Pete, of all people, and kidnapped and taken away by operatives from the island nation of Genosha. The rest of the FF arrive at the crime scene, and Johnny asks who's in charge. A detective, Charlotte Jones, informs the FF that she's in charge and that a battle between superpowered individuals had taken place, and reports indicate that Mr. Fantastic was one of the combatants. The police found a briefcase on the scene, which Sue identifies as Reed's, and they found a taxi cab also at the scene, which Sue identifies as the cab that Reed left in. Now, how was that possible, I wonder? It was just a standard yellow cab. Did Sue read and memorize the number on the cab? She must have some form of OCD. Sue pulls out a resonance scanner calibrated to track the metabolic signature of her husband, and the scans lead her to a nearby telephone booth, and the trail ends there. She picks up a Disc Corporation signature, so she has to check the FS database of Disc Corporation signatures. That's pretty handy. It's a good thing they were keeping a database of Disc Corporation signatures. That's one lesson from this issue of the FF to remember. Always keep a database of Disc Corporation signatures. You never know when you're going to need it. So Ben and Detective Jones check with the phone company, and the last number called by the phone was to Genosha. And in the database of Disc Corporation signatures, Sue finds a pattern for a metahuman named Pipeline, a member of the Genoshan Special Operations Group called the Press Gang. Detective Jones is like, "Well, there's nothing the NYPD can do about that. Reed's as good as dead." Does she know who she's talking to? It's the Fantastic Friggin' Four, the FFF. Of course Reed isn't as good as dead. So then we have another flashback to Reed, Sue, Johnny, and Ben sitting in the spaceship, getting ready to take off. They gotta beat those commies into space, after all. We do learn one thing that we never knew before, that originally two other people were part of the crew, but someone had been trying to stop the flight, and they were forced off the crew, which is why Sue and Johnny were recruited to help fly the ship. So the ship is ready to take off, they hit the ignition, and back in 1998, at the FF's headquarters on Pier 4, the FF are meeting with Dr. Valerie Cooper, the Special Presidential Assistant for National Security regarding the situation in Genosha. Dr. Cooper pulls out a DVD and puts it in the machine, the latest technology, so they can watch a news report from Genosha, an island country off the east coast of Africa. It's a country with great wealth, highly advanced and technical, but with a dirty secret. They use slave labor, namely, mutant slave labor. Oh, I didn't know that about Genosha. I have a giant Genoshan flag painted on the top of my car. I better take it down. That might cause problems. So thanks to the X-Men, the truth about Genosha became known to the world, and the mutant slaves rose up in revolt, and a war broke out between the humans and the mutant slaves, and the UN responded by placing an embargo on the country. Dr. Cooper theorizes that the government of Genosha plans to use Reed Richards and his intellect to help win the war. And Dr. Cooper says that officially, the government of the United States can't take sides, but unofficially, they kind of want the regular human government to win.
Yeah,
that sounds like our government, all right. Siding with the people with money over the downtrodden, enslaved people. She tells the FF that if anything goes wrong on their mission to save Reed, the U.S. government can't help. So later, the FF are getting ready to go to Genosha. Alyssa Moy, who's been getting rather chummy with Ben lately, says to Ben that she wishes she could come, but considering Ben doesn't even have a penis, that would be hard. Ba-dum-bum. No, she wishes she could come to Genosha with them, and kisses Ben on the cheek. Next, Ben asks Johnny if everything is kosher with Alessandre Stewart, because they're leaving her behind to watch after Franklin. What the hell? She's some crazy woman Johnny found in another dimension and absconded with, and now Sue is leaving her son behind in her care. Really, Sue is the worst mother ever. Does she not have any other friends? Leave him with the She-Hulk. Leave him with the Wasp. Leave him at the Avengers Mansion with Jarvis, for crying out loud. Why leave him with some strange lady they just met in another dimension? Holy cow. So they say goodbye to Franklin and Alyssa, Alessandre, and Charlotte. Chris Claremont just keeps adding more and more women to this cast. What is going on? So the FF take off in their plane for Genosha, and that brings us to another flashback, with the rocket flying into space, getting hit by cosmic rays, and they're all not feeling so good, and Ben turns on the autopilot to take them back to Earth. And back in 1998, the plane approaches Genosha, and Johnny mentions that if the Genosians want Reed for his big brain, they're in for trouble, and reminds Sue and Ben that he hasn't been the same since the encounter with Crucible. He seems to be getting dumber and dumber. Maybe that's why he was able to be beaten by Pigspot Pete. Sue says she kind of likes him better that way. He's a better father and a better husband, which means she's getting more sex. So yeah, she likes it. The Pogo plane has been shot by something. And then back in the past, the spaceship crash lands and the crew gets out. Reed is all stretched out. Ben is a rock monster. And Johnny is on fire. And then back in 1998, the Pogo plane has been damaged. They've lost power. And they're falling like a rock. But Sue puts a big invisible force field around the plane, like in the shape of a big glider, to help them maneuver. And Ben checks the landing gear, which was deployed but not locked. And they hit the ground. Sue cushions the fall with a force field, and they slide across the ground. Ben punches a hole in the wall of the plane and climbs out, saying that some mook has knocked the plane out of the sky, and that mook is gonna pay. Isn't mook a racial slur? Maybe I shouldn't have repeated it. I apologize to all the mooks out there listening. Oops, I shouldn't have said that either. Oh, I'm gonna be in such hot water with NAAMM, the National Association of Merry Mooks. The FF see the person responsible for shooting them out of the sky is a gold-colored lady in a skimpy purple outfit and golden snake-like hair. She says she shot them down because they are invaders, and Johnny says, "We don't die so easily," and she replies, "That remains to be seen," and she punches a column of fire that Johnny shot at her. Actually, I think it was Johnny she punched, but you know, since Salvador LaRocca can't tell a story, it's hard to tell what she did. Chris Claremont had to cover it up by having Ben say, "She swatted the kid like a fly." Ben picks up a giant hunk of ground to throw at her, but she zaps him and orders him to surrender. And then she tries to zap Sue, but Sue puts up a force field, then rams the woman with the force field, and she informs Sue that the only way to defeat her is to kill her. And then she hits Johnny with her powers, causing his flames to get hotter and hotter and hotter. And meanwhile, Ben gets up out of a hole in the ground and is immediately attacked by a squad of little yellow flying gremlin critters, which was the name of my garage band I had in high school, of which I was the only member. So the little bastards swarm all over Ben, and the bad lady smiles and informs Sue that her name is Aisha. And yes, she's a badass. But what's up with it? What's up with Claremont and those names? Alyssa, Alessandre, Aisha, all these new women, and they all their names are very similar. And Aisha uses her powers to cause Sue to vanish, like, for real. Boink! She's gone. But on the next page, she's back, along with Johnny and Ben. And they're all wearing these radical new threads, leather, lots of straps and zippers. Did Jim Lee come back and redesign more uniforms? It feels like it. And then on the next page, there's these three folks dressed up like Genosian slaves. A tall black guy, a woman with long brown hair, and an old white man. Aisha addresses the three mutant slaves as the former members of the Fantastic Four, and calls them Jomo Kamani, Farisa Mansour, and Harry Soong. The old man says, "This is the creep you told us about, Ben? The one you and Reed fought in Stockholm?" So I assume that Johnny, Sue, and Ben have been put into these new bodies. But why did LaRocca draw them in the leather uniforms on the last page? So anyway, the guy they're talking about, the one Reed and Ben fought in Stockholm, is Crucible, who's standing there with Aisha. Next, Ben, drawn as the Thing, asks, "I suspect you no doubt are curious as to what happened." Why would Ben be asking that? Shouldn't the dialogue come from Crucible or Aisha? Oh, the scene is so confusing. Whenever LaRocca has more than a few people in a scene, things get very, very confusing. And then Ben, in his skinny black guy body, replies to his own question and says that he knows he's been body-jacked. He's been body-jacked many times before. You know, for a guy like Ben, there's tons of clubs in New York City where he can get body-jacked, if you know what I mean. Sue, now the lady with brown hair, says they're not impressed. Crucible grabs Sue and Ben by the throat and asks, "You would mock me?" Was there a single FF villain created in the 1990s that doesn't deserve to be mocked? I think not. Crucible goes on about how humanity must be honed and tempered against the terrible trials to come. Does he know about the upcoming George W. Bush presidency? And that he is the hope of the world. And then Johnny, the old bald man, says they're in danger, and his human torch must not ignite his flames again. So, does that mean that three other people have occupied the bodies of the Fantastic Four? Why doesn't LaRocca make it clear that these three other people are in the same room with Crucible and the others? He doesn't make that clear. Crucible lets Sue and Ben go and tells them to get used to their new bodies. And the bad guys leave the room. So later, Johnny is freaking out because he's stuck in an old man's body, while Sue and Ben get younger people. Ben tells him to quit his belly aching, like Ben has never complained about his body. The two start fighting with each other, and it appears Johnny has a heart attack, and some guards run in, but Johnny was just play-acting. So the three of them fight off the guards and escape from the cell. Back with Crucible, in some kind of main control room, they're doing some kind of test on the three fake FF members. Old man Johnny appears on a screen and warns them to stop testing, for the fake human torch should not flame on. But Crucible doesn't care. If something bad happens, so be it. He tells the fake human torch to flame on, and he does. And he flames on up to his Nova Strength flame and screams out in pain. And it blows off the entire top of the skyscraper they were in. Johnny, Ben, and Sue were down in the basement, and they join some other people in a van, and they speed the hell out of there before the garage explodes too. They speed down the street, hit some cars, go off a bridge, and crash on the ground below. And the issue ends as we see the unconscious body of the brown-haired Sue in the wreckage of the mangled van. Coming next time, a double-sized anniversary issue, the first anniversary of the end of the Heroes Reborn suckiness, and the beginning of the Heroes Return suckiness. Will Sue, Johnny, and Ben survive the car crash? Did their real bodies survive the building explosion? What has Reed Richards been up to since he got kidnapped? And will that strange woman from another dimension, who also seems to be from Scotland, be a good babysitter for little Franklin? Find out next time in episode 441. If you have any questions about the Fantastic Four, about this podcast, or if you need relationship advice, you can email me at podcastff@gmail.com. You can download other episodes of iTunes or find them all at www.podcastff.podbean.com. So long, kids. This podcast is over. Every day.
time I make a run, girl, you turn around and cry. I ask myself why. See, you must understand, I can't work a 9 to 5, so I'll be gone. I'll be gone till November. You tell my girl you I'll be gone till November. I'll be gone till November. I'll be gone till November. You tell my girl you I'll be gone till November. January, February, March, April, May. I see you crying, but girl, I can't stay. I'll be gone till November. I'll be gone till November. And give a kiss to my mother. When I come back, there'll be no need to clock. I have enough money to buy out the blocks. Tell my brother go to school in September so he won't mess up in summer school in the summer. Tell my cousin Jerry wear his condom.